Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. So, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm good. I am recovered from the Thanksgiving festivities.
Oh, yeah.
It was a long, 4 days? I had 4 days off of work.
Yeah.
And it was nice to not have to work, but, you know, family time and cooking and...
Yes.
The... Black Friday shopping. I haven't gone in a long time.
Same. But, yeah. Me either. Y'all had me peeling myself out of bed at stupid AM o'clock.
Yeah.
And that was ridiculous.
Well, I do appreciate that you got yourself up dressed.
I walked past your car when I was going into Kohl's and I was like, I'm going to slash her tires.
Yeah. Well, we got to the first store. I'm not going to name any names, but the sale was ridiculous.
They never have a good sale.
I mean, I've got some good stuff there.
I wondered why. I mean, it's always buy three, get three free the whole store. So,
but I feel like I'm more excited, but and this time it was not happening.
Yeah.
And so I almost called you and was like, just stay in bed. It's not worth it. But we had some cousin time, so that was good.
We did. We did indeed. We got crock pots. Well, I ordered mine the night before.
Yes.
Did I yank your arm and was like, oh, look at the crock
bit.
Pot I bought?
No, you didn't even have to twist because you just said the word crock pot. And I'm like, ding, ding, I've been needing a crock pot.
Right. We got one for our wedding.
Yeah.
13 years ago and it just died.
Oh no.
I was making potato soup and like I had it on all day.
Yeah.
I cracked that thing open, you know, to check on it. The potatoes weren't even like they were barely even soft. And I was like, oh no,
that is so disappointing.
Oh no, it's finally kicked the bucket. So we had to throw it away and get a new one.
Have you used your new one yet?
No, it hasn't come yet.
Oh,
yeah, I'm still waiting.
Oh.
Anxiously.
I've used mine already.
Uh-huh.
See, we were using one with a lid that was too small.
That's not going to work.
It did work.
It did?
Yeah, it was annoying. And then the lid broke. So I was like, this is adulting.
Oh my gosh. You know what? That's funny because I went to the dig today.
Oh.
And I really want these caraway pans.
Uh-huh.
Not sponsored, but if you want to sponsor us and send me free pans,
hey,
I will shout you out. But I really want those pans and I will have them someday. But I found a box of just the lids at the dig and I was like,
I'm gonna
what can
need
I
these.
Use these for? I was like, surely I could use these somehow. And I was like, oh my gosh, next level. Because some of my pans don't have lids.
Oh.
Because I got them at like Goodwill you know, an estate sale or whatever. Yes, guys, I buy pans from Goodwill and estate sales. What of it? What are you going to do about it?
Right.
Anywho, yeah. How was your Cyber Monday? Did you get any deals?
No, I didn't even look. I kept saying, oh, maybe I should look. And then there was one thing that I was going to look for and I don't even remember what it was. And so, yeah, that's just my brain these days.
Yeah. I mean, I set an alarm for something and it started at 7 and I was like, oh, I got to get, and then I started looking through the thing and I was like, that's actually not really that great of a deal. So,
oh,
never mind.
You talked yourself out of it.
I did, and I do that.
Yeah, that's partly why I didn't even look, because I'm going to talk myself out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need that sweatpants suit, because I already have mismatched.
Mm-hmm.
that I wear all the time. But you know, those cute sweatpants, you know, suits that are sets that, anyway, they're really
cute. I want to be that girl. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be the mismatched girl. I want to be the matched sweatsuit girl.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I don't want to pay.
I know. They're expensive.
I know.
We're just cheap, y'all, okay?
Yeah, I really am. We shop at Goodwill, and
we're just, you know, we are what we are. Get over it. Anywho.
I like a good bargain, so.
I do, too. And I also like, you know, things that I like that I'll pay full price for.
Yeah.
And throw money at. I'll be honest.
Yeah, you got to ask yourself, is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know it's worth it?
Mm.
Spending my Monday night with you.
Oh.
Listening to true crime stories.
Yeah, that is worth it. And I'm gonna talk about this story, and it's not gonna be long. It's a short one this time, y'all.
Bite size.
Yeah, bite size. So that's why I'm just, you know, being laid back and chit-chatting.
And chilling.
So anyway, we'll get into it.
Okay.
But first, I just have to admit that I have a problem when I start to research my next case. As I open articles and videos, I get distracted by other random videos.
Like the chicken video you sent me.
Yeah, so the videos that I send you throughout the day probably...
is when you're supposed to be researching.
So some of the videos that I love are like when people are... Have you seen the videos of when the people go help the homeless? Like they clean them up and they give them haircuts and they just like transform them into...
No, I have never
You haven't?
Seen, no.
It's so sweet to see like... These people just go give them haircuts, wash their hair, let them, I don't know if they shower them or whatever, but
they give them, bathe you.
They give them clean clothes and they're like a whole new person. Mm. And I just love that. Anyway, but this week, I came across a video of a guy cutting grass and cleaning up overgrown yards.
Okay.
I thought to myself, this is probably really satisfying to watch, you know, the productivity,
like the lines
and
the grass back and forth,
blowing the grass off of the cement. And so, this YouTube video or channel that I stumbled on is called The Boring Channel, you know, because how boring is it to watch somebody cut grass? But the next video rolled over to a channel called Al Blades. And so there's several different channels that of these people just videoing themselves doing this. But these two in particular are what started my fascination. these guys, they go find incredibly overgrown yards and mow and clean them up for free.
That's nice.
Yeah. You get to watch them start to finish and see the before and after and what they've accomplished. Some of these yards that they mow are abandoned, but most of them belong to like elderly Aww. People that can't get out and mow and they can't really even pay people, to
so
do
sad.
It. Yeah. So it's like really beautiful seeing how touched and blessed they are by this act of kindness. Y'all should go check them out if you like that kind of thing. Even if you don't, go check them out. Yeah. They do take donations as well, so you can help them help others.
Yeah.
So that's just a little plug
I love
for
it.
Them. Yeah. Anyway, in the midst of watching these videos, there's a reason I'm telling you about that. One of them went to a house that had some true crime history.
Go on.
Yeah. When they asked if they could mow their yard and video it, the homeowner was like, I have had so many TV producers come and ask to video my house.
What?
And he's like, why? And so she explained that the previous owner was a doctor and was killed by his wife.
Oh.
So, yeah, that piqued my true crime interest.
Yes.
The previous owner was Norman Larzelier. Have you heard of his name?
Uh-uh.
Okay, I haven't either. So Norman was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
I love it.
He was a kind and generous man. He was known to help the needy, and he loved the outdoors. He would take his dog out on the boat with him and go fishing on his downtime. His daddy was a dentist, and he followed in his footsteps. Mm. So he opened a dental practice in Daytona Beach, in the Daytona Beach area of Florida. So Norman met a woman named Virginia in 1985 in Edgewater, Florida.
That was
Florida.
A good year.
It was.
It was.
A memorable. So yeah, this was in Edgewater, Florida, and they quickly got married that June.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Moving on fast. He adopted Jason and Jessica, Virginia's two children from her first marriage.
I love that.
I know. Virginia and Jason were very close. Jason was her pride and joy. It was said that Jessica was treated poorly by her mother. She had to do a lot of the chores in the house while Virginia doted on Jason.
That's sad.
Yeah, mama's boy. Mm. Norman was really disturbed when he found out that Jason, who was like 12 or 13 at the time, still slept in the same bed with Virginia and refused to sleep in his own bed.
No.
Yeah, he was, that's what he said. He's like, this is weird.
He's like, this can't happen.
No. Jessica, however, got close to Norman. They had a seemingly good relationship. Norman gave Jessica the attention that she did not get from her mother.
Mm-hmm.
While they were married, Virginia had two more kids.
Oh.
It came to light that Jason was sexually assaulting the little kids.
Well, that didn't surprise me
mm-hmm.
at all.
Yeah.
Carry on.
And Norman made him move out when he was like 17 or 18. He's yeah. like, we're not having
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Eventually, Virginia took over managing Norman's dental office.
Oh.
But things were not going great in their marriage.
I know. Never mix business and pleasure.
I know.
How many times have we heard about this?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just do your books, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, spending time at home, spending time at work.
Right.
Some people can do it.
Yeah.
This couple could not.
Yeah.
Norman filed for divorce in 1989. He claimed that Virginia was suicidal, drug addicted, and a Ooh. Thief. And he wanted full custody of all of the kids.
Wow.
Ultimately, they did not go through with the divorce and they reconciled.
They're getting back together.
Yes.
Yay.
So yeah, that was 1889. No, that was a few weeks
In
ago.
In the days of yore.
That was 1989. So jumping to March 8th of 1991, just 3 weeks till Norman's 40th birthday. And Virginia was 38, I believe, 38 or 39.
Okay.
It was another day at the office. Dr. Larzelier was there finishing up his lunch at his desk. Also at the office was a patient, a dental assistant, and Virginia. At 1 p.m., a masked man rushed into the dental office
Ooh.
With a shotgun. When the masked man ran in, Norman ran, but he couldn't get away in time.
Oh, no.
The man shot Norman in the chest and ran away.
Oh.
The witnesses in the office told detectives that just before Norman was shot, he said, "Jason, is that you?"
What?
And it was also said that Virginia knelt down beside Norman and kissed him as she cried in hysterics and then called 911. It took about 2 months to get an arrest in this case. Two people were arrested. Can you guess who that was?
Virginia and her son.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Virginia and Jason. Prosecutors alleged that Virginia was the mastermind and ordered Jason to kill Norman and they would walk away with the insurance money. Shortly after the murder, a witness came to detectives and said that on the night before the murder, Virginia had Jason go to their storage unit and obtain Norman's will. and life insurance policies.
This always, what are they thinking? You know what? Before we do this tomorrow, mm-hmm. we got to get our ducks in a row. Let's yeah. leave a paper trail.
Right.
Oh my Lord.
No one will suspect a thing. Yeah. So now why would she need those documents the day before?
Ay, Dios mío.
Yeah. What a coincidence. Mm-hmm. So the insurance policies was like valued at $2.1 million. Wow. After all, she did take out 7 separate life insurance policies on Norman.
7?
7.
Wow. That's yeah. not suspicious either.
And it was a total of 7 throughout their 5 or 6 years together.
Okay.
But, and in the last 6 months before the murder, she doubled the amount payable from $1 million to $2
million. Wow.
Another coincidence.
Oh, wow. No red flags there.
Additionally, Virginia filed a fraudulent will designating her as the sole heir to the estate shortly after the murder. The will was submitted on the same day that one of the biggest insurance policies went into effect. Oh, she's like, God. I'm getting it all.
Wow.
It also came to light that when Virginia became the office manager, she was processing the billing for the office. She was filing claims for procedures that were never actually performed.
Oh my gosh. Someone else did this in another story.
Really? Oh.
How dumb.
Yeah. I feel like this happens all the time.
Well, it's easy to do.
Exactly.
It's very easy to do, especially if you did it just a few different times.
Yeah. No one will notice.
Nobody will notice.
Yeah, but...
And they didn't for a while, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, they did come on to her, but so she was doing that. She was charging excessive amounts for procedures that were completed. She didn't file taxes for the business.
Wow.
She would write scripts for medication that Jason would sell.
Wow.
So yeah, the Department of Professional Regulation noticed this activity and started investigating.
Yeah, I'll say.
Virginia was very flirty with patients at the office, which caused arguments with Norman. Virginia claimed that her and Norman agreed to have an open relationship, and so she had multiple lovers.
No.
And that's one thing that they agreed on when they decide to reconcile and not get divorced. Mm. Apparently, it was an agreement that
okay.
they could do whatever they wanted.
Okay, Will and Jada. Go on. We'll just be married forever and we just won't tell anyone. And
yeah.
Okay, sure. You know, whatever blows your skirt up.
Mm-hmm. She hired a female assistant named Chris. Chris would help with the duties at the office, kind of like a receptionist. She moved into the Larzelier home and helped with the kids.
Oh, okay.
Chris told investigators that when she moved into the home, she noticed that Jason would come over when Norman wasn't home. She saw Virginia and Jason kiss.
Gross. No, stop it. Stop, Lena. No, I won't have it.
Yeah. It was in a way that moms should not kiss their sons.
Nasty. Mm-hmm. I need a shower.
I know. The two of them would go into the bedroom and shut the door.
No. Stop it.
I know. I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh.
But you have to understand.
She's like, you're going to listen to me.
Yeah. She thought it to be very odd and disturbing. She's like, I'm going to go the other way.
That's not okay.
At one point when Jason moved out, he got a roommate named Stephen Heidel. They became sexually involved for a short time. Like mm-hmm. they did some stuff and then were like, ended it, I guess.
Okay.
Stephen and the assistant Chris eventually testified that after the murder, Virginia had complained to Jason that he was 30 minutes late to the dental office to do the murder.
Okay.
If he would have shown up at 12:30, the dental assistant and the patient would not have been there to witness.
Well, punctuality is important.
Yeah.
So
I guess he didn't understand that. So they watched Virginia and Jason reenact the murder, Stephen and Chris, several times. Virginia would play the victim and Jason would play the gunman.
Why?
Yeah, it just keeps getting more disturbing.
Why?
Because no, they're
really why?
they're evil.
That's such a gross relationship. When you said he still slept in his mom's bed, I thought this is going nowhere.
Yeah.
Good.
No, you're exactly right. They witnessed Virginia telling Jason, "Don't worry, you'll get your $200,000 for taking care of business."
All right.
So Stephen Heidel said that Virginia ordered himself and Chris to clean the weapons, which were a 45 handgun and a shotgun, with muriatic acid and put it in concrete and dispose of it.
Right.
He had thrown it in a creek. And so he led detectives to the exact location to the gun where he dropped it in. Mm-hmm. Stephen and Chris both testified that they mixed the concrete at Virginia's house. The shotgun was recovered from the creek, but no conclusive determination was made as to whether it was the weapon used in the murder, though. Mm-hmm. Also coming out in trial, Virginia had offered at least two of her ex-lovers, along with one of their friends, money to murder Norman, and they declined.
Again, who are these people that ask multiple people?
Yeah.
To kill someone for them, and then they go do it another way.
Right. Well, she was a very promiscuous woman, yeah. and
she just thought, oh, I'm currently in bed with you.
Yeah.
So
a big manipulator.
This is a safe space.
Yeah.
Ew.
I mean, she thinks she can talk herself out of anything.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah, she's done several interviews, and just watching her talk, and even in court, she just is smiling like she's just not going to get in trouble.
Oh, God, these people.
A little backstory on Virginia, because it helps us see the psychological side of why someone might become so evil. Mm-hmm. She did have three sisters and lived in a trailer home. Not that that's bad, but she didn't like it.
Okay.
She
was fancy.
Yeah. She needed a lavish.
Fancy was her name.
I get it.
Get it, Lena?
Get it? I'm a little slow. Goodness. She learned sexuality early on due to being abused as a child by her alcoholic father. This was around age 5 to 13.
Oh, I hate it.
She made it her mission to find a husband and get out of her father's home and to find a more lavish life. So at 17 years old, she married a man named Harry Mathis.
Okay.
Together, they had two kids, Jason and Jessica. Harry claimed that Virginia tried to have him killed.
I don't believe that for a second, not Virginia.
He made it out alive, but by his account, he says, Virginia told him that her cousin, the car was broke down, so she asked if he could go help her cousin. When Harry arrived and got out of his car, a man in the car started shooting at him.
What?
One shot hit him in the right arm and another just grazed his scalp.
Oh my gosh.
Harry ran for his life and hid in the woods and ended up running into a restaurant for help. He could not prove that it was Virginia that set this up, so there were no repercussions. And he never pressed charges.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
He's like, she'll find me.
But he even stayed with her for two more years.
No, he didn't.
He did. So, after two more years, he left her and the kids.
Did he sleep with, like, one eye open?
I'm sure. I don't know how he could.
How could he have laid his head to rest on the pillow beside her?
I don't know.
Wow.
Her second marriage was to a police officer.
Okay.
She met him when he pulled her over on a traffic stop.
No, yes, of course she did. Of course she did.
Yeah. They wasted no time getting married. It was like 2 months.
Oh my gosh.
She would eventually take out a large life insurance on him.
Oh my.
3 months into their marriage, Virginia made a frantic call to her husband while he was on duty and told him that the house was on fire. Two other officers that were on duty and closer to home than her husband was quickly went to the house, and when they walked in, the house was not on fire.
Oh my.
They were surprised to see Virginia standing there holding a gun. It was a setup, waiting for her husband to walk in the door.
Wow.
Mr. Police Officer quickly divorced her, yeah. And Virginia was on to the next.
Jeez.
Jumping to 1985, when she met Norman, a dentist who had a mansion.
DZS.
Yeah, this was quite the upgrade and just what she was looking and scheming for all this time. Norman was her fourth husband. It was said that on the nights that Virginia didn't have a man over, that Jason would sleep in her mother's bed, and if a man got physical with her, Jason would threaten to kill them.
Yikes.
Jason does not admit to the incest claims, but says what he and his mother had was a circle of love. Gag me with a spoon.
I don't know what to say. Yikes. That makes me feel all kinds of
oogie
and slimy, mm-hmm. and gross.
It is gross. Virginia was convicted of Norman's murder and she was sentenced to death.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Jason went to trial and was acquitted.
Really?
Mm-hmm. One of his defenses was that while there was evidence of concrete in a pot at Virginia's house, like Stephen and Chris said there would be, mm-hmm. it didn't match the concrete to the gun, it didn't match the concrete that the gun was in.
Huh.
And, you know, that could be because of, you know, it's weathered. It's out in the water.
Well, and it was also, yeah, eroding in the water.
Right. So, but that was a point that they made. And he also degraded Stephen Heidel's testimony, saying that Stephen was insecure and money hungry and highly dishonest. The defense attorney suggested that Stephen was the shooter and agreed to Virginia. Right. Agreed to Virginia's offer to kill Norman because he was eager for the money.
Okay.
At Virginia's trial, Jason was called as a defense witness with the sole purpose of standing side by side with Stephen to show that both were strikingly similar in physical appearance.
Okay. Well, that's smart.
Right. So.
I mean, the defense sounds pretty solid. I mean.
Yeah.
I know what I believe, but they're not making a case.
Exactly. I mean, it worked. And Jason's biological father, he actually helped with the expenses for that trial. So,
wow. Well, yeah.
Stephen would later commit suicide. Some speculated that it was because he was the actual shooter and felt too much guilt. So after Jason was acquitted, while being escorted away, Jason yelled, "I'm free." And, Jason would later enlist in the U.S. Navy and was said to have later moved to Europe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jason.
Virginia was, she's worked very hard over the years on appeals as well as clearing her name. In 2008, due to all of these appeals, her death sentence was reduced to life
in prison. When they do that, they're like, you know what? We'll just give you life if you stop with this paperwork.
Right.
Like, we're just tired of saying it.
But I'll have you know, she's actually eligible.
No.
For release in like 2030 something. 2034, what? 2039. Yeah.
How do you go from a death sentence to now life with parole.
I'm telling you, she's manipulative and she can talk her way, well, she thinks she can talk her way out of anything, and it's working apparently.
Wow.
I don't know how true this release date is, if it's like just a possibility or what, but she maintains her innocence. She admitted to living an indulgent life and said her sterling record in prison has been a result of her wanting to atone for her past sins. But one of those sins is not murder.
Oh, okay.
She also says that after all the years of her greedy, narcissistic, promiscuous ways, she has turned her life around.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're in prison. Yeah. So,
there's your short case for today. I wanted to tell y'all more about Norman, but there was just nothing more that I could find, which makes me sad because I think he was a great guy and he helped people.
Yeah. They need to haul all of her ex-husband's booties in that parole meeting if it happens. And they can each say, yeah, she tried to have me killed. Yeah, she tried to have me killed. Yeah, right. I was shot in the shoulder and, you know.
Exactly. Like, she's a dangerous woman.
And she flew under the radar. She just, like, kept moving on.
Yeah.
Nobody said anything, did anything.
Yeah, and it was a case of, like, escalation. Yeah. Like, she tried.
Yeah.
And then she did it.
Yeah. And she would have just kept doing it. I mean, she probably, if she would have gotten away with it, she would have found another man and done the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
How many times do we hear, like, a man has, like, a wife who drowns in the bathtub? Uh-huh. And then
we've done that case before. I know.
So, yeah, it's just,
it's gross. This case was so gross, but
what a waste.
Yeah.
It's, you know, what if he had never met her? You know,
when
the paths cross and it's like, oh, you're just watching it happen.
It's like a movie, like, don't go in the room.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Norman.
Yeah. And just an FYI, Hillary Burton Morgan.
Yes.
She did an episode on True Crime Story. Have you seen her series?
I haven't watched it because I don't think I have that channel.
I don't know how I saw one of her episodes, but I did because I don't have the channel. But I really liked it, you know, because we love Hillary Burton. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she did his case on True Crime Story. And I just came across it before you came over here. So I didn't watch it. I didn't try to find it somewhere. But anyway, I bet that's very interesting because she walks through the whole scene that where they lived and how it happened. So that might be interesting to watch.
I would like to watch that and look that up.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for telling that story. Rest in peace, Norman. And screw you, Virginia. Good riddance to you. Well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. We will.
See you later, guys.
Bye now.
Bye.
Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.